You're listening to Knobs, a podcast for music geeks by music geeks. Brought to you in part by Roland Canada. Visit Roland.ca today. Now, here's your hosts, Matt Diamond and Chris Nickel.
So welcome back. My name is Matt Diamond.
And I am Chris Nickel.
And Chris Nickel is being Skyped in from the lovely location, maybe a secret location in Madoc. I don't know your address yet, but the funny thing is...
It's a hidden compound. Yeah.
So if the sound quality is a little different, we're simply on different schedules, but we wanted to come back for this episode that we will call episode 3 within this mini series of the Future Redefined, thanks to our dear friends at Roland. And Roland actually rolled out this amazing line of products. And Chris Nickel, you were essentially there on the floor, part of the launch itself. And this episode is dedicated to that day itself, and to, I see, the president of Roland, Paul McCabe?
Yeah, Paul was he's the president and CEO, I guess, of Canada, Roland Canada. So he oversees all the Canadian operations of Roland and Boss.
Right. So I guess the last time that we were together, as far as this miniseries goes, was the night before the official launch. We got to speak to some pretty prestigious people within the company, including Lyle Crilly, who is, a developer and product manager. And then we met, I'm going to get his name incorrectly.
Just say Yasu, man.
That's Yasu. We'll go.
Yasu. Yeah, he's a legend. Dude.
Yasu Watanabe. And then, of course, Darren Shep, who is all things percussion, all things drums. And you could hear the excitement because of that product being rolled out and how much time and love and blood and sweat and tears that have been poured into all of this stuff. But Chris, I wanted to have you kind of guide us through this one, because essentially you were there in person. I was there the night before, and then I was so lucky to meet the people that we did within the hotel room there. But, you know, tell me exactly, how did the day unfold as far as you getting up, leaving the hotel, and then being a part of this entire product launch? Tell me all about it.
Well, it was interesting, actually, because I really didn't have any expectations of what the event actually was going to entail. It's kind of funny, because you think of an event like this, you think of a trade show, or you think of it in this ginormous space that you're going to be going from booth to booth and talking to these product specialists. But it was a really kind of refined space, this beautiful new space that they've just launched. And it was really all about that day. As much as it was about the products itself, it was more so about this space that they are going to be replicating all across the world, which is just going to be a good medium for the consumer base, the dealers of their products, and the actual product specialists and the products itself.
We mention the fact that it's called the Roland Inspiration Center?
Yeah, Roland Inspiration Center. So it's this beautiful space down in Liberty Village in Toronto. Really what the day was is prepping the product specialists at the very early morning hours. And then throughout the day, heavy-duty dealers from all across Canada were coming into the space and seeing these new products for the first time, meeting the people behind the products. And when I say dealers, I mean... the retail stores, the online stores, the people that sell the product on behalf of Roland and Boss. So not only was it unreal meeting these people behind the products that were being launched, but it was really cool seeing the reaction of the people that were then on the streets providing this product to the customers, which was, it was really cool to kind of mingle with both sides of that spectrum. So
now,
that's kind of what the day entailed, man. And it was just a really, really cool day. Of course the highlights are the space itself and then the products on top of that. So.
So let me ask you, when we were talking to Darren Shep, and he was saying how it was going to be somewhat of an emotional day for them as well, talking that this was going to be, you know, the birth of something they've been working on for so long. Did you actually get to see the unveiling of some of the products and then to see the look in the developer's eyes as this was happening?
Oh, absolutely, man. It was, Darren specifically, and it was cool because, you know, we'll touch on this in episode 4, but I so desperately wanted to circle back with Darren at the end of the day, because there was so much emphasis within our interview in the hotel room about how emotional it was going to be for these guys behind the scenes who saw these products through their development stages and seeing them, seeing the people come through the doors for the first time and laying their eyes on these products and these products are something that these people have seen every day, but then seeing these eyes come in that have seen them for the first time, it was pretty incredible. And Darren specifically, you know, and we'll touch on this in the episode four, but those drums, the V-drum technology, specifically the TD50 that they relaunched that day. That was the focal point of the event by far. And seeing Darren's reaction when people actually saw, these drums being demoed was pretty incredible. And, you know, Darren's also a little bit of a different monster animal as well, because like Yasu, I think Darren, had a lot to do with the development of the product, where a lot of these people that were in for Roland and Boss are product specialists. Mind you, that's not discounting their intelligence by any means, but, you know, having some of the people there that were within the implementation and development stage of these products is pretty special. And Darren and Yasu and those kind of guys that were there, it was pretty cool to see their reactions, man.
Well, you know, I think we have mentioned this several times, how honored we were to be a part of it in the first place. And for you to be there, and while I was, we'll say, stuck at work while you were doing this, you know, but like not like life is rough here, but you were literally uploading things to our Dropbox account as they were happening. And I got to see the people within, you know, within the center themselves, but more importantly, these products. And I wanted to ask you, just from, you know, your personal standpoint, was there one particular toy that was really blowing your mind? That was the thing that you'll come home from that going, wow, I got to play with this, or I saw this.
Well, the night before, you know, just hearing Darren speak about the drum technology, and I've seen a lot of, and we all have, we've seen a lot of incarnations of electronic drums, and Roland has really been on the cutting edge of that. And, you know, and that's not us being a shill to the sponsor here. Anyone who speaks about electronic drums, Roland's been there, and that's why we're so blessed to work with them. But it was pretty incredible seeing them being demoed by an incredible drummer on site. There were not too many people that were left to their own devices on that kit that day because of how special it is. I think I saw one person, and I did not get a chance to speak to him, who actually got to sit behind the kit other than Darren and the drummer on hand. But, you know, it's funny. We saw a lot of really great synth products. That's not within my echelon of musical expertise. You and I have spoken about that previously. But I was just kind of enamored by the technology and the sounds, and seeing the people come through that were kind of obsessed with them, like right away walking over to the bright lights. But I get back to the Aerophone, man. You know, as much as it seemed like kind of a shticky thing, when we were talking about it in the actual room, but I don't know, man. It was such a cool product for today's music, I think. And seeing that AE10, it's a digital wind instrument. If you haven't seen it yet, you have to go to roland.ca or roland.com and check it out. I think that's going to change indie music, man. I really do. You get, you know, one person who knows how to use this instrument, and it's going to add a huge dynamic to a band or to music. If you know how to use this and know how to use it well, you can create a lot of sound and a lot of unreal sounds for your band. And that's the one thing that I was drawn to all day. I just kept like trying to track these guys down all day, but everyone was kind of obsessed with seeing what they were up to. So I finally got to chat with them at the end of the day. And I believe it was Mark. I spoke with Mark, and it was pretty rad, man. Just you have to check it out. It's pretty incredible, man.
So we own the rights to some of the photos that you took because you took them. So we will put them on our Facebook page, and kind of part and parcel with these episodes, of course, because we want everybody to see the not only the Inspiration Center, but the products that we're talking about as well. And I think the culmination of this portion of this segment of this episode, regardless, is about Paul McCabe. Now, tell me exactly how this went down, because I believe he was your first interview of the day. And Paul McCabe, for those that are listening, is he the president of Roland? Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I said, he's the president and CEO of Roland Canada, so he oversees the whole operation. So, you know, there was a lot of emotions on the floor that day, and seeing him speak to his staff and his developers and his product specialists was, you could tell there was a huge sense of not only relief that this day had come, but passion and emotion when speaking to them. And so there was two waves of dealers and consumers, I guess, that came through special invitation only, that came through the event space of the Inspiration Center. And Paul, once everyone had arrived and got their drinks and whatever it was, he spoke to everybody. And You know, doing what I do, Matt, you know, being in business and you know, doing business as long as I have, you get to see a lot of C-level executives. You got to meet them, get to brush shoulders with them. Paul is literally one of the nicest, most down-to-earth C-level executives I've ever met. Mind you, he works in the entertainment field, but he was really engaging. And for somebody who doesn't interview people on a regular basis, he was very easy to interview. And I don't know, he was just a rad dude, man. And seeing his background, you know, all these guys come from kind of the design or the playing background, and to see how he's climbed the ladder to be what he is today was pretty, not only inspirational, not to use that word, but was pretty incredible, man. And I actually really enjoyed my time sitting down with Paul.
Well, I think like everybody else that's listening right now, I'm very interested in not only the interview, as you did upload it to Dropbox. I got in just to hear probably the first 10 minutes of it, but he did speak with you at length, and I wanted to kind of sit back and listen to the finished product. So I think what I'm going to do now is we'll kind of unplug and let you plug directly into this interview, and to you know, bookend this once again, how honored we are to be a part of the Future Redefined in this unbelievable event. And although it's now 2 weeks ago, happy 909 day, reliving that moment all over again with the CEO, and as Chris put it, a pretty rad dude in his his interview with the one and only Paul McCabe. You ready to go?
Cheers, man.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so we're here at the Roland, what are you calling it?
Roland Inspiration Center.
Inspiration
Toronto.
Center. Wow, that's amazing. The space is incredible.
Thank you.
It looks great, and I'm sure it's going to sound great, too. I'm here with Paul McCabe. He's the president and CEO of Roland Canada. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing real good.
You're doing well, yeah. I'm happy the day's here, I'm sure.
Happy the day is here. This has been a three-year project.
Wow.
We're doing Toronto and then Vancouver in a couple of months.
Yep.
And it's been 3 years in the making. So to be here in this moment almost seems a little bit surreal.
That's exactly it, right? You work so hard to get up to a moment and it's here. It's like, okay, now what? No.
Yeah, the whole company has. It's been business authors will call this a big, hairy, audacious goal. This has been a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To do this,
I'm sure. So, how did you get into this business, and how did you arrive with Roland?
Purely by mistake.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I've been an electronic musician since my teen years.
Oh,
the
great.
First electronic instrument that I got a chance to play and learn was a Roland System 100 in high school.
Yeah.
So it's somewhat prophetic that I am where I am now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm very fortunate to be where I am now. I worked in musical instrument retail stores in Vancouver for about 7 or 8 years in the mid-80s and kind of the first real golden era of synthesizers and electronics and what have you. And then I'd always said to myself, if there was one brand that I could work with that wasn't doing the job that I was doing at the time, it would be Roland. And an opportunity kind of opened up, and I jumped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 25 years.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So what position did you start with the company?
I'm a product and technology guy, a musician, an electronic musician. So I started as the company's product specialist. There was one at the time. So I covered everything that we did, and I toured the country and other countries around the world, basically teaching people how to use our instruments and how to understand the technology, how to make the most of it, and then doing technical support before the internet, before PDF owner's manuals and whatnot, so there was a lot of photographic memory going on to help people over the phone at that time.
Yeah.
And then that led to product management and marketing positions, and then eventually into more corporate management as well. But I'm a product guy at heart, and I'm still very involved in research and development for a lot of our product categories as well.
That seems to be a common meeting some of your colleagues last night as well. They all start in that product realm, if they will. They're all kind of techie guys or
tech guys and musicians. You know, whether or not they actually start or work in a product related role, especially for the people that face the customers, because ultimately that's where the rubber hits the road. We want to make sure that we can have a sincere, confident conversation that's got integrity, and so
that
means that we have to be musicians and fans of music and appreciators of music ourselves.
Of course. So with this event specifically, you said you're leading up 3 years in the making for this event. Tell us, what is this event? What exactly is happening here today?
Sure.
And not only here, but in all of the centers across the world.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you ask it. There's actually, here in Canada, we're pretty much the only country in the world where we're actually telling two stories right now.
Yeah.
We're telling the story of the Inspiration Center, which I'll come back to in a moment. But we're also, and the global story is this thing called The Future Redefined.
Yes.
Yep. Which is a 24-hour online musical instrument festival.
Yes.
Where more than 30 new instruments and technologies are being debuted, all of which are going to be available in music stores between now and the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's never been done before, which causes its own anxieties.
Oh, well, of course.
Because there's no blueprint to follow.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. Especially from the manufacturing standpoint, right? You know, knowing how much you need.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it's a first of its kind. It was interesting. We were reading some of the early comments. We started at 12:01 this morning in Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah, we were watching in our hotel room last night.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the DJ was from Montreal.
Yes,
which
he was. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
DJ Shashu. It was like, wow, you could have told us.
Yeah, give us a heads up. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. So anyway, you know, we started at that time. Feedback has been coming in. One of the most interesting and resonant pieces of feedback that I read, and actually came up more than once between midnight and now, was that people were comparing Roland and the way we're doing this product launch and the kind of products that we do and how they tie into just the culture of the company and the history. They were comparing us to Nintendo.
Wow.
And yeah, and you know, people all harbor their own opinions on Nintendo. They're definitely the Nintendo in the video game industry, in the entertainment world, march to the beat of their own drummer.
Absolutely.
But I find it not coincidental that Apple did a big product launch on Wednesday of this week. And the star of the entire show was Miyamoto, the president of Nintendo. When he took the stage, the place erupted.
Went crazy.
And it was actually more passionate response than it was for Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple.
Poor Tim.
And so we'll take the comparisons to Nintendo.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
People will say that we don't listen to the market.
Yep.
And that's kind of like Nintendo. People that say that, I don't really think understand what Nintendo is about and what Roland is about.
Yeah.
We absolutely care about what people think and say, which is why we're here in an Inspiration Center in the heart of downtown Toronto.
Of course.
If we didn't care, we would be in Uxbridge. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somewhere not here.
Not
right?
That Uxbridge isn't lovely. Uxbridge is lovely.
But
yes.
The rent is cheaper, folks.
Yes. Yeah.
It is in downtown Toronto. Anyway, we would be somewhere not here. But we're here because we care about what people think. But we don't necessarily just follow what people are asking for in this moment, because we're a company that designs the future. And for us to do that, not unlike the other great technology leaders, we have to be taking the input from the market and then designing and building things that people never knew that they needed, but now they want desperately.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's when
Roland
had its best. That's what we're doing. That's what Nintendo's doing. Yep. That's what Apple's doing. And that's what we try and do every day.
Amazing. So you're saying this is a multifaceted rollout. We were speaking previously. Are you launching a new store-based system? Are you going to be releasing these products online and selling them yourselves, not only not just exclusively through third-party dealers? Or
that's a great question. No. We're not going to be our business model. There's a couple of things that we know about and have learned over our 45-year history about musicians and musical instruments in this business. Relationship is everything.
Yep.
And even in today's day and age, where there's more and more business being done online, at the end of the day, customers, even if they're buying from a website, they're buying from companies that they trust, especially in Canada.
Yes.
Where a much smaller percentage of our total business is done online than even compared to the United States or the United Kingdom. It's because Canadians value relationships. And our retailers across the country, Roland Canada is fortunate to be partnered with the best retailers in the entire country, hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we built these relationships over in Canada since 1982, when Roland Canada came into being. And it's these dealers that understand what the difference is between Saskatoon and Regina and Calgary and Edmonton and Lethbridge and Red Deer. And they understand their communities better than we ever will, no matter how much we go out and travel.
Of course.
And they understand the music that's being made, the economics of those of their trading areas. And so those partnerships will always be integral to how we do business. This space and a mirroring space that we're about to open in Vancouver is about creating a brand showcase that wouldn't be practical for a musical instrument store to do. The displays that we've created are a curated selection of our most interesting, most timely stories. They're being showcased in absolutely ideal settings and being demonstrated by our product specialists. We don't have to have thousands of guitar picks and strings and string winders and gig bags and all that kind of stuff, because we're not a musical instrument store. If we were a musical instrument store and we were into retail, we would have all of that stuff.
Of course.
We don't. So we're creating a brand showcase, and the whole idea is to get people excited about our products, the Roland Boss and now V-Moda products here, and then encourage them to go and visit a music store where they can spend their hard-earned money,
hopefully, on our products. Yes, of course. So looking around the room, and we were chatting with some of your colleagues last night about specific products that are being launched today. So there's 30-plus products that you guys starting at 10 a.m. this morning, start launching across the...
We actually started at midnight last night. At 10 o'clock this morning, we have... our dealers from the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, for those that aren't Canadians, Toronto Area are coming to visit us here and see this space and see the products for the first time.
Oh, that's great.
But the product release started at midnight, and it's kind of a timed release that goes around the world and follows the dateline.
Amazing.
It sweeps through here at 7 o'clock tonight, where we launch a couple of new products, and then concludes in Los Angeles at the end of the day.
Where everything ends, the city of angels, right?
Absolutely.
Is there a specific product that you are most excited about? Like, obviously, there's going to be, for the people of their own centers, there's going to be something that they're excited about. Is there something you're excited that really gets your juices flowing today?
Well, so I'm going to answer that. I have to give two answers to everything, right?
Yeah, of course.
it's the Canadian kind of just
bipartisan way.
Bipartisan. There's the left and there's the right. My left and right. So from a business perspective, the products that we have coming from Boss, which are typical of Boss, very, very high quality, full of features that the competition doesn't offer, but very, very well priced, are really exciting. They're going to be great for our business. From a technology standpoint, things like the new TD50KV V-Drums kit, which is, you know, Roland has been the industry leader in electronic percussion since the mid-80s.
Absolutely.
And this new kit really pushes the bar. It introduces two or three new technologies that have been in development for quite some time that I think that drummers around the world are just going to absolutely fall in love with.
Yep.
Me personally, as a synth and electronics guy, the new System 8 plug-out synthesizer under our IRA moniker has me really excited because
which is directly behind
me. Yes, I know the back of my neck is warming up as I remember that. But in any case, the fact that it not only has an all-new synthesizer engine for the 21st century, but it's bringing forward our classic synthesizers in using this technology called plug-out. And in fact, the System 8 is going to... It comes in the box with the Roland Jupiter 8 synthesizer actually embedded inside it, and then later this fall, the Juno 106 will join the Jupiter 8.
Amazing.
And then a whole host of other legacy synthesizers will join it as well. Yeah. So that one's really got me excited too.
That's amazing. And it's amazing to see the progression of the synth as an instrument. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to fall back for a few years, but it's bigger than almost ever now, being used as a tool for musicians and artists around the world. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and I appreciate your choice of words there too. That's actually really, really quite insightful that you would refer to it as an instrument.
Because
for a lot of the synthesizer's history, especially the middle years from, I would say, 1990 through within about 4 or 5 years ago, the synthesizer was probably seen more as a production tool than an instrument. But the reality is that the synthesizer is a musical instrument. It can be used as a production tool, frankly, as an electronic drum kit can be used as a production tool. But it really is a musical instrument, and it should be respected and appreciated and learned as any other musical instrument. And when it really sings and when it really does some interesting things is when it's approached as a musical instrument.
Of course, of course. So where's Roland in 10 years? Where do you see the company going from a technological standpoint? Do you see you just doing this again in another 5 years with a bunch of new products? Or
probably see us doing this again in another 6 months.
Right on.
We release new products at the rate of more than one for every week of every month of the year.
Yes.
So it's pretty much a perpetual flow of new products and technologies and innovations. Where do I see us in 10 years? Well, I would probably have to anchor back to what the core mission of the company is, which is to inspire people to be creative. We really try and have that be a non-democratic, a non-exclusive, that's a better way to put it, a non-exclusive mission, meaning that we don't want to limit ourselves to saying we want to inspire people to be creative for those that can play, those that can master, those that have the ways and means, the money. Our challenge is to bring creativity through our core competency of electronics and digital technology to everybody. And that means young people, more mature people, rather than saying old people. Young people, more mature people, male, female, spanning musical genres, but also, frankly, spanning incomes and regions as well. One of the great opportunities that we've got is to look at developing countries where, you know, spending $1,000 on a musical instrument or the equivalent of $1,000 might be months of income, months of discretionary income. So how can we use technology to bring musical instrument creativity to those that couldn't afford that $1,000?
Yeah.
And we've got things that we're working on. We have something that we're working on called Roland Cloud, which is an online community and an experience for making and sharing music. That could be very much a big part of making music more accessible all around the world.
So the cloud is going to be audio production cloud software. Is that the, right on?
We've previewed a story that is going to start to come online before the end of this year called Roland Cloud. You can find us online. Just Google Roland Cloud.
Yep.
You can find us on all the social media streams as well. But our vision for Roland Cloud is to be a suite of online tools, but more importantly, a gathering place, an online community for like-minded electronic musicians that give them really compelling features that tie in with the hardware that we make and offer them real value, but in a connected way. So not unlike if you look to the video game industry, we've got Microsoft's got their Xbox Live, Sony's got the PlayStation Network, Nintendo's got their network, Apple's got iCloud. Roland Cloud will be our version of that kind of a connected service for musicians around the world.
That's great. And something we touched on last night, we'll go back to the drums, because this is going to be...
You can hear them in the background.
Well, not only that, but this is going to be a very talked about item today.
Absolutely.
I know for us specifically, musicians sitting with Darren, correct?
Darren and Nathan McLaren from 416 Beats is there as well.
Yes. So speaking with Darren last night, and you can see his passion for this instrument, and it kind of blew our minds last night, considering the aspects of touch on the skins, that you can palm mute or finger mute a skin while you hit it, and an electronic hit is pretty incredible. With these drums specifically, do you see it more so gearing towards a professional bassist that maybe hasn't been touched before, studios coming in and taking these on as a tool in their arsenal now?
Your questions are awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to hereby appoint you the royal question asker of the Roland Court. It's a great question. I'm gonna give you again the left and the right answer. First of all, what's particularly insightful about your question is that you brought attention to something that often gets overlooked in the Roland story. People focus on our digital technology and the software and the firmware that we make. But as mechanical engineers, we recognize that absolutely critical in making instruments is, and in the world of manufacturing, we call it the man-machine interface. What's the physical tactile connection between the person who wants to do something with their hands and their legs and their breath and whatever, and the electronics and the digital technology that actually creates what you hear and what you see.
Yeah.
And that's as big a part of the Roland history and the Roland story and Roland's power as the electronics and the digital side.
Of course.
Are. And so you mentioned V-Drums in particular. That's probably the single best all-encompassing crystallization of firmware, hardware, software,
all
and
coming
the
together.
Interface all coming together. So in V-Drums, you were talking about the muting and just the touch of the skins and all that stuff. In the case of V-Drums, we co-developed with Remo this multiply mesh head technology, which is a physical mechanical thing that we developed, which is part and parcel with what makes V-drums V-drums.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that that mesh head and the trigger cone underneath it and the trigger basket and now multi-positional sensing on the new V-drums kit connects with the software that's running in the module is really the whole thing.
Yeah.
You couldn't have one without the other.
Yeah.
The choking, that was something that we recognized. There were a couple of gestures that we recognized very early on. Rim shots and cross-sticking. Simple choking, hi-hat swishes, like the pedal open hi-hat effect. These were two or three very simple gestures that electronic kits and digital kits hadn't been able to do up until the first V-Compact kits and the V-Drums Compact kits that we were making in the mid-90s. When we introduced those, drummers started to pay attention, say, okay, hang on a second. So the way I play this... an acoustic kit, I can actually basically transfer over to an electronic kit. And that was the turning point. That was the tipping point for us.
Yeah.
And that's really, I'll finish by saying that's actually core to Roland's ethos, is that while we do make some instruments where we're trying to make a totally new proposal, and whether it's a hand sonic hand percussion instrument or now a digital wind instrument, there are some totally new proposals. But even with the totally new, what we don't want to do, and we resist with everything that we've got, is asking a musician that has been practicing a skill set for half their life to dispense with that and come and
adapt
do it
to
our
something
way.
New, yes.
And, great, I'm glad that you learned to play the saxophone that way. Forget all of that and now come and do it our way because it's better.
Yeah.
That's arrogance, and that's not our approach. And so what we've always tried to do, whether it be with drums, piano, now wind instruments, accordion, guitar, is we've always respected the skills that the musician has developed, and we want to transfer that over to the digital.
Of course, of course. Well, I'm excited to be here, and I know your dealers, once they come in here, are going to be excited to be here, and congratulations on this day finally coming, and we're really excited to see what the future holds for Roland and Boss.
Me too.
I'm sure. So thanks a lot, Paul, and cheers.
And thank you for being here. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Take care.